Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Wellness Wake Up. We're so happy you're here. Happy Monday. Hi, Marissa.
Hi, Carolyn. Happy Monday. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. Today's episode is a good one. We are going to answer the question, why am I always hungry? But before we go into that, we can start with our magic moments, and I can start today.
Great. Go for it.
My magic moment was actually this morning. I ran into an old client at an event last week, and I hadn't seen her in a while. And we ended up getting coffee this morning. And it's just nice to see someone that you haven't connected with in a really long time. Yes. And it was a beautiful New York City day, and we sat outside. So that was my magic moment.
I love it so much. It's so sweet. Those random New York City run-ins. That doesn't happen in the rest of the world. My magic moment was a little sound bath that my partner put on, and to just be able to host people in our home. And if you want to go back and listen to like our five new health tips, you can learn about why sound baths are amazing for you and what you get from them. But that's always really special to bring people together, and also just feels really good, and you get a great night of sleep after.
I love that. So we are going to get into it. We are going to talk about why am I always hungry? I feel like this is a question Carolyn and I get from clients all the time. I'm never full. I'm not satisfied. Something's wrong with me.
Yeah. Clients on their first time in, because then after that, they start feeling satisfied once we start putting the puzzle pieces together for them. So why are we always hungry, Marissa?
We are going to give you 10 questions you could ask yourself if this sounds like you. So question number one, did I have enough protein? Actually eating dietary protein and actually digesting dietary proteins into amino acids can stimulate something called CCK, which releases in the gut, and it helps us actually feel full and satisfied. So it's been shown that CCK, which is this hormone release, actually reduces food intake and meal size and induces satiety. That is why protein is so important at each meal to make sure that you feel full and satisfied. Carolyn and mine's clients both know that we are big fans of getting adequate protein at each meal or even snack. So what does adequate protein look like? Usually that's something around 20 to 30 grams per meal. In our episode last week, we talked about how meat actually isn't really the devil if you are choosing good quality meat, and how you can get quite a bit of protein in products like that. A lot of people tend to undercut the protein. I see this a lot, like where you're eating like just one egg and you're wondering why you're starving later. Well, that egg has 6 grams of protein in it. And so even 2 eggs sometimes is not really enough, and we need to layer something else in. So smoothies, adding a protein powder can be a great way. Greek yogurt and layering in some nuts. Cottage cheese is another excellent source. One of those cups of Good Culture gives you about, I think it's like 19 grams of protein. If you're one of our plant-based friends, we want to just think about layering in multiple sources. So maybe doing like some beans or lentils with something else like a quinoa that also has protein in it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That is a big one I see go wrong for people too. So the next question is, did I have enough fat? And so as you can tell, we are going to be really making sure that your meals are balanced. Fat makes us metabolize meals more slowly. So it helps us keep food in the stomach. It just really slows down and improves that satiety signal as well. So we're really looking for 1 or 2 tablespoons of fat per meal. And so that looks like olive oil on a salad. That might look like an equivalent would be like a half an avocado. It could also look like nuts, seeds, coconut, anything along those lines that is going to add a little bit of good fat. And so if you were of like the low fat era, I often have new clients come in, and when we go through like what they report that they eat, I actually just had this happen the other day that someone added balsamic vinegar and lemon to their salad, and there was no source of fat. And, you know, it doesn't matter how many veggies you eat, or you could eat all the protein in the world, but that fat's really going to help with overall satiation and like meal enjoyment. Plus it tastes really good. It adds really good texture to things generally. So that fat is really important. Aim for 1 or 2 tablespoons and don't fear fat. You can overdo fat, of course, but we want to make sure that you're getting some in at all.
Yeah. And I'm not a big proponent of measuring. You guys know that if you listen to this, but I do think it's helpful for people to understand like what adequate amounts of fat versus too much fat can look like. Like measure what 1/4 cup of nuts looks like one time and put that in your palm. And then you know that when you're eating a snack, okay, maybe I'm not eating an entire cup of nuts versus a tablespoon, which probably wouldn't fill you. Okay. Question number 3 to ask yourself, did I have enough fiber? So we talked about protein, we talked about fat, and now we're going to talk about fiber. And those are like the 3 fullness trifecta that I like to think about. Dietary fiber, specifically the type that's like soluble fiber, actually slows gastric emptying. So like fat, it helps keep food in the stomach longer. So it helps increase our perceived satiety, and it actually plays a significant role in our appetite regulation. Fiber also slows down our blood sugar response, as we've discussed before. That has to do with the act of keeping food in our stomach longer. So protein and fat also do a similar thing. So, but you tend to avoid that crash that can lead to cravings later on when we're eating foods without enough fiber. Now, we typically want 25 to 30 grams per day. Even a little bit more than that can be great for a lot of us. Men need closer to 39 grams per day. But if you look at the research, most Americans are only getting like 14 grams of fiber a day. So we are definitely fiber deficient. We're not going to go into all the fiber drama in this episode. So you can definitely overdo a good thing, but adding in great sources like chia seeds, even avocado are a really great source of fiber. Lentils, beans are an excellent source. Any sort of cruciferous veggies can be a great source. So just making sure that you are upping your fiber and swapping any breads or grains that you might be having for a more whole grain alternative that has that fiber intact.
Yeah, real food sources of fiber wherever you can is great. Our next question is, am I sleeping enough? Not getting enough sleep, good quality sleep, can affect your hormones that control hunger. And people who are sleep deprived, we always find 100% of the time have a bigger appetite and find it harder to feel full. And they're also more likely to crave high fat, high sugar, high calorie foods when you're tired. Our bodies are looking for fast sources of energy. So often you'll crave a whole lot more sweet treats. You're less likely to, like, you know, wait to get the eggs in the morning if you see a croissant on the way. So just something to keep in mind if you find that you're really exhausted and, you know, craving more sugar, nothing's wrong with you, but you do need to get more sleep. And we're looking for 7 to 9 hours of sleep for most people. And so the best thing you can do is really work backwards from when you have to be awake and start trying to make a bedtime routine and getting yourself to sleep a little bit earlier. And then notice when you feel well rested, how much more in control of your decisions and how much less fatigued you are when it comes to your life, but also to your food.
I always tell people too, on a night when you didn't get enough sleep, right? Because it's inevitable sometimes, especially my clients who have young kids. Seems like there's a couple of years in a lot of new parents' lives where sleep is not the highest quality. Mm-hmm. And what I always tell a client is know that your cravings are going to be different that next day and get ahead of it. So on the day after a sleep deprived night, know that you might wake up craving that muffin for quick energy, but knowing that that muffin's probably not going to sustain you for that long, and instead choosing maybe, you know, a multiple egg omelet with some veggies mixed in there, some avocado on the side, and even a whole grain English muffin or something. So you can have more food, but make it really nourishing, nutrient dense food to get ahead of that kind of crash.
Totally. Or if you were going to have a muffin, have like a Greek yogurt on the side too. 100%. So just like a little bit more pairing and being conscious of that, it can make such a difference.
Yeah. Okay. Question number 5 to ask yourself is, am I restricting or following strict portions? So you need different amounts of food on different days. If you are a loyal listener, you have heard us both talk about this so many times. Our hunger ebbs and flows on different days. And sometimes a client will come in and be like, I ate my normal breakfast of whatever it might be, and I was starving afterwards. And I was like, if you were truly hungry, if you were checking in with your hunger and fullness and you need more food, we need to have the space to allow ourselves more food. There are certain days where I can wake up and like 2 eggs can do the job if it's an early morning and I got to get to work for breakfast. And there are other days where I need 2 eggs, half an avocado, a piece of toast and some fruit on the side. And I might still not be that full at the end of it. Our bodies don't have to always make sense. We just need to learn to respond to it. So if you're not ebbing and flowing with different times of the month, and if you're just following strict portions every day, you actually might not be listening to your hunger cues. You know, it can be helpful to have like that capsule collection or those few meals that you know work for you and are go-tos, but also recognize that there's just going to be days when you need more. And there also might be days when you need less. Now, this is easier when you're in a work from home environment and you can get to go up and, you know, grab a nourishing extra snack if you need something. But I tell my clients who go into the office, have some secret weapons in your desk. Keep a few extras in your desk so that if you do have the day where the normal lunch isn't doing it, you don't have to go to the vending machine and rely on something else, and you can still make a nourishing choice.
Totally. These safety snacks is really helpful. And this makes me think also of intermittent fasting, which we have a full episode on. You can go back. I think it's number 3 of this season, which people might not consider intermittent fasting restricting if you're thinking you're doing something good for yourself, but it can set your body into that mode where then you are starving for the whole rest of the day, even once you've started your quote unquote eating window. So just paying attention to like, if you are following any timing rules or anything like that, like that's, we do love external wisdom, but we really always want to make sure that the internal wisdom of your own body is trumping anything that we're telling you, anything that you're reading on the internet or Instagram.
100%. And One other last note I'll say on these, like following, am I restricting or following strict portion, is that the serving size doesn't necessarily mean that's the amount you need to have. For instance, if you look at the serving size on the back of like a package of organic turkey breast, it will say 2 slices. Those 2 slices come with only 50 calories and 11 grams of protein. Mm. If I'm throwing that on top of salad or in a sandwich, I usually need more than that, right? So I might eat 3 slices or even 4 slices on a day when I was hungrier. So serving sizes give us a snapshot. They can give us a starting off point, but you might need something different.
That's a great one about the turkey slices. I didn't know that. I usually have a two turkey slices, maybe three kind of girl. But it's similar to those eggs too, that it's like sometimes you were so used to, that's been like ingrained in, I think, every single woman I know, at least, that we get 2 eggs and that's it. And that's,
or even one egg for women sometimes.
Definitely, definitely. Next question is, am I drinking diet sodas or even these new unflavored sparkling waters? I just had a client ask about that Celsius drink and I looked at the ingredients and it has sucralose, which is Splenda. So many people drink these sort of like sugar-free drinks, sodas, sparkling waters to cut back on calories or what they think to lose weight. But the reality is the fake sugar in these drinks ends up telling our brain to expect calories that it doesn't ever get. It ends up turning on our hunger switch, which can then lead us to want to get more calories from more food and just feel hungrier than we would otherwise. Not to mention diet soda drinks can really, all of those artificial sweeteners can wreak havoc on your microbiome and end up causing trouble long-term. And so if you're an occasional Diet Coke drinker when you're out to like a special lunch or something like that, whatever, don't stress about that. But if this is something you're doing on a daily basis, it's absolutely something to tune in on. And that definitely could be a surprise reason why you're hungry all the time.
I love that. I literally wrote my thesis on why diet soda is the devil and not great for us.
Amazing.
But we always like to keep it real here. I drink a Diet Coke on occasion. I'm not proud of it. I know it's crappy for me, but we are a judgment-free space.
So it is a judgment-free zone.
No one's perfect here, but I think it's important to share that because it's not always just what you know. It's how you implement things too. And you don't have to be perfect at all of these things. But diet soda, to me, if it's a daily habit, it is an absolute.
For sure.
Okay. Next one, my personal favorite. Number 7 is, am I dehydrated? The question is, are you hungry or just thirsty? And I think diet culture really ran with this one because people started to be like, if you think you're hungry, just drink a glass of water and then wait. And like, okay, no, if you're hungry and you're well adapted to listen to your hunger and fullness cues because you've worked with one of us and we've made you do that, please definitely eat. But a lot of the time, hunger and dehydration can have similar cues. So if you're not drinking enough water and you feel like you're always starving, check in on your hydration. How much are you actually drinking throughout the day? Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you. And it's ironic because I think a lot of clients who work with me see me on Instagram first and then start working with me. So they all get into that first session. They're like, I know the first thing you're going to say. I know it's not enough. But I had a new client last week that was drinking 16 ounces of water a day. That is equivalent to 2 cups. And she was having all these digestive issues. And I was like, I'm not reading your stool test until you are drinking more water. So really the question becomes, how much do I actually need? The general rule of thumb is a bare minimum is your weight in pounds. So if you're 140 pounds, divide that by 2. So 70, and that is the amount you need in ounces. That's the minimum though. A lot of us can benefit from a little bit more than that, I actually tend to think. But you would be surprised if you do that math, how many people are very far from that number. So with any goal, we start small, we slowly increase. Carolyn, you always have, I'm forgetting the number, but that important statistic about like how much to drink in an hour, right? We don't want to overdo it.
Oh yeah. So we don't want to drink more than 1 liter per hour because you can overflush our liver and kidneys. And it's not great for, overall to be too hydrated. You actually can get too hydrated. So, oftentimes also when we see labs, if things are like, if numbers are wonky, I'll ask clients like, hey, were you dehydrated when you got this? And it makes sense of some wonky numbers in there too. So also just really important, like, on a daily basis, but especially if you're going to get any labs drawn or anything like that, to make sure that you are properly well hydrated. And electrolytes can be helpful with this too. If you're someone who feels like you are drinking enough water, but somehow you still feel dehydrated, or you like run straight to the bathroom and pee it all out right away, that can signal to us we might need even just like a pinch of sea salt in your water, and a squeeze of lemon can help your body absorb it into your cells a little bit more.
But please stop abusing those things like liquid IV. I remember I shared in the TikTok episode that I saw someone who was saying that they no longer drink regular water and they only drink liquid IV. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. A little bit of electrolytes go a long way.
Yeah, definitely. I've split those packs up, even like Element and stuff. They're really, really flavorful. They're really potent. They have a lot of sodium in it. And even though that in this case, actually, it's a good thing. Our bodies do require that from a good source. It also, there can be too much of a good thing. I've had clients who drink electrolytes and they end up having like some joint swelling and things like that, even if it's a good product. And that just indicates not the right product for you. Okay. So the next question to ask yourself, if you feel hungry all the time, would be, how are my stress levels? When you're anxious, when you're tense, when you're super stressed, your body releases a hormone called cortisol you might be familiar with. That cortisol level ends up amping up your feeling of hunger because our bodies require, like if you were being chased by a tiger, let's say you'd have high cortisol, your body needs quick energy sources. So often high cortisol levels will make us really, really crave more sugar, more simple carbs. So that is why many people under chronic stress really crave a lot of foods high in sugar, fat, or both, and are more likely to eat the treats outside of the office meeting room if you are like doing a presentation. This may be your body's attempt to really shut off the part of your brain that causes you to worry. We're looking for some pleasure in there as well, but also really that fast energy too. So if you do have a stressful event coming up, as Marissa mentioned, especially when you're tired or stressed, it's so, so important to make sure that you're going out of your way to have some nourishing, well-balanced meals. Research really shows it can end up impacting and improving anxiety levels or not letting them get worse.
100%. Okay. Question number 9 to ask yourself is, am I exercising more or differently? Exercise burns calories, right? And we know our body. Yeah. This is really rocket science here.
It is though. People don't think of it that way.
I know. So if you are moving more, you are burning off more energy. And your body wants to stay at a place called homeostasis, where everything is in the middle. So if you're burning more, it's naturally going to sometimes shift you into that state where you need more. You know, that could be because cardio actually burns those calories, or if you're doing a lot of weight training, muscle actually burns more calories than fat does. So if you're building more muscle, you might need more energy. So exercise can definitely affect your hunger levels, especially if you're not eating properly before or after, refueling after, especially. I see in clients who don't eat enough protein after a workout, they tend to be then starving the rest of the day and like can't really catch up. So we definitely want to make sure that, you know, before your exercise, no, we don't need to go into the whole fasted or not fasted. To be honest with that, it's total personal preference. If you wake up really early and you like to just do your workout on an empty stomach and your energy's fine, you could go for a fasted workout. But if you're someone who feels really depleted at a workout, you don't need something, make sure you have a little bit of carb before. And then afterwards is really what I care about. You want a good balance of protein to rebuild those muscles that you just tore down, and some carb to replenish your glycogen stores. So exercise can totally affect your hunger levels. Sometimes I see excessive cardio can make people really, really hungry.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And especially if you're someone who like all of a sudden is training for a half marathon or something, that's going to make you really hungry. And so you got to make sure that you're refueling appropriately. Otherwise, you'll end up ravenous later in the day.
Yes.
Okay. So last question we have for you, if you are always feeling hungry, is ask yourself, am I getting my period or what's going on with my cycle? When you are closer to getting your period, that week before your period, it's called the luteal phase. And we actually require a little bit more calories. Your body, your metabolism has a little jump during that week or so. And so the luteal phase requires up to 4% more calories, which can be significant for many people's bodies. And so that might even look like up to 100 or 200 more calories per day, but you want them to be healthy, good quality calories. So it might look like just an extra little snack in your day. Adding intentional whole grain carbs can be really beneficial during this moment too, during this phase. Otherwise, what we see if people try to eat the same as they do in their follicular cycle, which is those days right after you finish your period, you might be a little bit less hungry in that phase. And so if you try to eat the same way the whole cycle, you're going to be setting yourself up to binge eat probably if you're not eating enough whole grains during your luteal phase. So this is a really, really interesting one. Hormones play a huge, huge role when it comes to your appetite. And so definitely something to think about and just like give your body a little grace around too, especially if you're like on a weight loss journey or anything like that. It's not always the time to be focused on weight loss. Some weeks are just maintenance mode or just take really good care of my body mode, even with clients focused on that.
I love that. And most importantly, hunger is not a bad thing. So we just went through all of those 10 questions you could ask yourself if you're feeling insatiable and you're not understanding your hunger. But at the end of the day, hunger is not necessarily a bad thing. I always like to give the example of if you've ever been around someone who's really sick, and I'm talking about something like really chronically ill or has something like cancer, our appetite tends to go away, right? Or even yourself, if you've been out of that homeostasis state, like if you're stressed or if you're extremely anxious, some of us can lose our appetite. And that can be because hunger is accessory, right? So when we're dealing with this chronic illness or we're in this really high state of anxiety, our body has a lot to deal with, right? Mm-hmm. And your heart still needs to beat. Your lungs still need to breathe. But if it's going to turn off anything, it's going to turn off those brain signals to tell you to eat. Because yes, technically we could last a few days without food, right? You can't last a minute without your heart beating or a second without your heart beating, right? So hunger goes away in periods of bad time. So lack of appetite is not a good thing. An increased appetite is not necessarily a bad thing. A great example of this also is waking up not hungry isn't always a sign that your metabolism is working fabulously. Mm-hmm. We want to wake up in the morning and be ready for our day to start, for food to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. Another reason too, another thing to think about if you're chronically feeling really hungry is to get your labs checked. We talk about this probably in every episode now about certain nutrients that can lead to different outcomes. And when it comes to hunger, vitamin D is a big, big one. Vitamin D is actually a hormone and it controls levels of a hormone called leptin, which signals to our brain when we're feeling full and we can stop eating. And when we have low levels of vitamin D, the likelihood of overeating and therefore gaining weight is much greater. So oftentimes if someone is coming in with weight loss goals, I'll see their labs when they come in and they'll have really low vitamin D. And that's one of the first places I'll start because that can really help sort of rejigger your hunger fullness hormone and your hunger fullness signals.
100%. If I could make all the PCPs across America do one thing, it would be test our vitamin D. Not only is it involved in our hunger, but it's also really involved in our mood. Mm-hmm. Low vitamin D status is associated with worse mood, worse in anxiety, worse in depression. And so many of us, especially who live in areas like I do, where the sun is not so fabulous, are not absorbing a great amount of vitamin D. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And then other health issues might be hyperthyroidism. You might be always hungry if your thyroid's overactive. Blood sugar imbalance, if you have insulin resistance or on your way to diabetes, that can be a really typical, a standard reason why you might be hungry all the time. Food really isn't making it into your cells in that situation. Polyphagia is just excessive appetite. And so that can be a side effect of a lot of different disease states or other health issues. So if you're feeling like something's wrong, please, please listen to that. It might have more to do with something abnormal going on with you than it does just like adding some protein to your meals.
Yeah. And the last note we wanted to make is that obviously there's a lot of other things that can influence appetite. But medication change can be one that can affect what we see in people's hunger and fullness levels, either making them more hungry or making them less hungry. So thinking about if you're on things like SSRIs or birth controls or other meds, sometimes they can change our metabolism or alter our cravings. Or we even see that, you know, sometimes you're not so sad anymore, so you're able to eat again, which really is a huge thing. You know, we never want you to be afraid of taking a medication for the fear of appetite. You know, you work with your psychiatrist and you find a dosage that's right for you. But then at the end of the day, we tend to see way more benefits with these things.
Yeah, absolutely. And last but not least, what else are you craving? Are you craving connection? Are you craving nature? Are you craving sleep? Oftentimes we do feel hungry for food when we're hungry for other things in our lives. So just really giving your body a minute too and looking at what's going on with you. You know, even going to therapy, people say that can feel like a weight off their shoulders when they leave that office or that call. And I think like that metaphorical sort of hunger can sometimes get confused as appetite when it's really, really not. So just having real check-ins with yourself. And we have a mindful eating episode in our first season, which might be great to go back and listen to if you want to learn more ways to really check in with yourself and check in with your hunger fullness levels. Because also if you're letting yourself get too hungry all the time, you're going to chronically be in this up and down yo-yo sort of roller coaster ride of hunger. And so just starting to think about that as well of like what your body's natural rhythms are can be incredibly beneficial.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I think this was a quick jam-packed episode and hopefully we gave you guys some things to think about if you are struggling with understanding your own hunger and fullness. Yeah, thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Share, subscribe. I don't know what else you do with podcasts, like, save.
Yeah, please share it on your Instagram stories if this is helpful and tag us in it. It really, really helps to spread the word and for us to know the kind of topics that you're enjoying. So thanks for being here.
Totally. Have a great rest of your week, guys.
Bye.